Fine crouton.
It's word salad with Amelia Discreet, only on 95BFM.
Kia ora, Amelia. How are you?
Hello. I'm still without my the full function of my brain.
Ah, don't worry. I think you're amongst friends there, so.
Yeah, and so, like, because of that, you know, last week we did a bit of, like, a kind of a wild dive into, like, kind of
philosophy.
I mean, yeah, if you want to call it that.
Philosophical thought,
potentially
maybe.
Potentially sparking an existential crisis.
And so this, yeah, I mean, I hope not. But so this week I was like, okay, this week we'll just talk about what chickens sound like in different languages. And it'll
awesome.
Be funny. It'll be like popular television comedy, Arrested Development. And people will say... People will say different chicken sounds and we'll all have a good laugh. But then I got obsessed with the nature of onomatopoeia. So we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear it.
It's never just a small, casual thing with words, is it? There's always a long history.
I mean, honestly, there's a lot to talk about with, you know, kukuruku.
Kukuruku.
Kikiriki.
So what noises are these relating to?
So these are
to?
Just chicken noises. But okay.
Oh, okay.
So to get to the start, what's onomatopoeia?
That's words that sound like the thing they are. Is that right?
Bang.
Pop.
Yes. So the idea is that it's words that sound like sounds.
Oof, got you.
I mean, it's a little bit interesting, right? Because obviously the noise that a chicken makes is not kukuruku. It's
no.
more of a kind of like a...
Is it?
I like that we've already jumped fully off the diving board here.
Sometimes. And so there's a level of translation that happens in order to get it to sound like a sound that's natural for a human
okay.
to speak. So it's like a kind of an interesting thing whereby we're like translating sounds from the world
mm-hmm.
into words. And that's why you end up with having them different in different languages.
Oh, okay. That makes logical sense. I wouldn't have ever thought about it before.
Because we're used to using different vowels and consonants. And if we wanted to properly imitate the sound of, you know, here's a good one. I've got a really huge list of an owl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'd go... or something like that, right? But instead we say hoot.
Hoot.
Because that's a natural combination of consonants and vowels in English, whereas in Armenian you say boo.
Boo.
Boo, boo.
Boo.
The owl was saying boo.
Boo.
And so this is all fine and good. Or is it?
Bum, bum, bum.
Because... Okay, so some people think, oh, well, that sounds interesting. Maybe onomatopoeia is kind of the source of all language. And you go, okay, I guess I understand how maybe that would work.
Yeah.
And then Fernand de Saussure comes in and he goes, no way. Do we know who Fernand de Saussure is?
Absolutely no idea. Who is this person?
So Fernand de Saussure is like one of the most important thinkers of... kind of the end of the 19th century, the very start of the 20th century. He died in 1913. And he invented structuralism.
Structuralism.
Pause for dramatic effect. Because structuralism, you've probably heard of post-structuralism. That's the one that people kind of throw around a lot.
I've heard it thrown around. I've no idea what it means.
Oh, post-structuralism. We're not going to talk about that today. That's a long discussion. Postmodernism, post-structuralism are kind of related as well. But structuralism is this thing that Fernand de Saussure came up with, and it's his theory of language, basically.
Okay.
And so his idea is that, well, words don't have, like, direct relationships with the things that they describe, right? Chair doesn't sound like a chair.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing in a chair that makes the sound chair.
Yeah.
So he's like, this is an important feature of language. The sounds that we assign to symbolize a thing
mm-hmm.
are arbitrary. The relationship between the signifier and the sign is arbitrary, right?
Got you. I'm following so far.
Yeah. And then some people come along and they go, what about woof? That's not arbitrary in relation to the sound a dog makes.
Yeah.
It's pretty descriptive. It's fairly close. And Saussure loses his head over it. And he says, no, it's just about the relationship between languages. And there's actually not a real relationship between.
Wait, so he's trying to say that woof is nothing to do with the noise that a dog makes. It's to do with the relationship between different human languages.
Well, so basically,
how does that work?
So basically, everyone goes, but all languages basically say woof. And he goes, no, the French say waf. And you go, yeah, but that's more or less the sound a dog makes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is it? And so this presents a real problem for structuralism.
Okay.
And then when you start looking into it further, you get the weird stuff. So
ooh, we love
this is
the
when
weird
we come
stuff.
To the Kiki Booba effect.
Sorry, what?
So I'm going to show you Booba and Kiki, Kiki and Booba. This is them.
Okay, so for people
they
at home...
They are shapes. Would you like to describe them?
We've got... who's who? Which one's Kiki?
This is the point.
Okay.
So describe them
so
first.
We've got one that is kind of like a star explosion with pointy, you know, triangular points of a multi-pronged star. Six prongs.
Seven prongs.
I can't count.
Spiky and irregular.
And then the other one looks a bit more like a flower. It's sort of blobby and looks like maybe it would be involved in a 60s or a hippie font, you know?
So which one do you think is which?
I'm going to say Kiki is the spiky one. And what was the other one called?
Booba.
Oh, Booba is the blobby one.
Yep. And do you know what? People across every language on earth would agree with you.
There we go.
Which is totally wild when you think about it.
It is
so,
a bit, yeah.
So there's some kind of like non-arbitrary relationship between the sounds of words and the things that they describe on some kind of deep level. And more than that, if you talk to people about what they think the personality of Kiki and Booba might be, people get very into it.
Whoa.
And it's pretty similar. So you end up with Kiki, the spiky one,
yep,
essentially being like a bit of an asterisk figure,
yep,
and Booba being a bit of an obelisk figure.
So like one's the sharpened, cunning one, and one's the
yeah,
sort
one's
of like
a bit cheeky,
goofy sidekick.
Clever. Yeah, exactly. And that seems to be some kind of weird, like it's onomatopoeia, but not for sounds. It's like a synesthetic, like a cross sense onomatopoeia. And so it's like, what does this mean for how language works? Is there some kind of weird innate sense of what objects should sound like?
I can see how you were like, I'm just going to start with animal noises, and then got sucked into the rabbit hole here, because this is really wild. So
I feel like there is a sense of what you think objects should sound like or be like.
Yeah.
You know?
But this kind of, as you're saying, like kicks Ferdinand's ideas right out the gate, doesn't it?
I mean, to a certain extent, it does. There's still important aspects of structuralism that don't get affected by this.
Do you think that's something, though, that's evolved? Because if you look at something that's sharp and spiky, sharp quite often can be used to describe someone who might be quite short or straight to the point or...
But what does that have to do with the sound Kiki?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Did Kiki come because someone's asking you, is this Kiki or Booba?
Booba.
Yeah, pretty much they just had like a bunch of shapes and a bunch of words and they were like, which one's which?
Someone's texted in saying, I'm going to butcher some of these words. Someone's texted in saying the Kiki Booba experiment is used to suggest human synesthesia, but is also commonly discredited because the words look like the letters in their names, which I think they mean the sharp K's
look like
the sharp corners on the shape, and Booba has the O and the B's, which look like the circular edges of the other shape.
So how does this apply
to... That's interesting. So I think that's certainly a possible... Like, obviously, I'm not going to come down hard on either side of this. I actually think structuralism rules, and I'm a big fan of structuralism. Even Levi Strauss is interesting.
That's an interesting point, though.
But
if
I think
words look like they're objects.
But when I asked you, you didn't look at the words.
No,
and
I would wonder.
And were you thinking about the shape of the letters when I talked to you about it?
No. But maybe somewhere.
Possibly somewhere. But then it also, I don't think that definitively decides it as either, because the shapes of the letters have some relation.
Yeah.
No, it's also a synesthetic thing. I think possibly, obviously, it's one study and it could be heavily discredited, but it's interesting to think about.
Absolutely.
I have found it very interesting to think about. We've got a magnetic fields track here, Amelia.
Oh, yay! Is it in the system?
It's in the system.
This song does not give you a good idea of what structuralism is about at all, but it's a lot of fun.
So we're going to hit
it. I just want to say someone just texted in meow.
Yeah.
Meow is very good. Meow. Do we have like 30 seconds?
We got 30 seconds.
Hey, Tess, go through some of these chicken sounds with me.
Oh. Let's do it.
Bask. Kakara kakara.
Oh, I wouldn't have said that. I was going to say kara kara. Kote kote.
Ko ko ko.
Cluck cluck cluck.
Kokoda. Kokodak.
Tok tok tok. Pitok pitok. That's good.
It's always interesting when you get to the English ones and you're like, do we really say begork? okay, but yeah.
In case anyone was wondering, yes, we have all lost our minds at BFM, fully jumped over the precipice here.
But yeah, onomatopoeia, origins of language potentially, and structuralism. For the record, Derrida said Sosha was just being a big wimp and needed to calm down.
That was Magnetic Fields with the death of Ferdinand de Saussure. I probably said that wrong. Thank you to Grizzy and everybody who just caught up with chicken noises. Appreciate that. Appreciate the love of a good onomatopoeia from the BFM listeners. And appreciate the deep nerdery that is going on out there. So cheers.
Vinaigrette originally referred to small vinegar.
Word salad with Amelia Discreet on 95 BFM.